That was Shabbos. Yeah, that was Shabbos. Shabbos is another story. He wore a summer garment during the winter in the Russian army because of Shabbos. Right. Okay. Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph. What's that? Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph. Right in the middle of the wide lines, we have Omar Mar. Right in the middle of the wide lines. First word on the line is Yitzchok. The two dots. Right? Kof Dalit Amud Aleph. Right in the middle of the wide line. First word on the line is Yitzchak. Halfway into the line. Omar Ma. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Omar Ma. Yeah, okay. Omar Ma. Im hayu banav ubnei beis ha'ktan. We're going back to a statement that we said the other day, that a person should not be with others in bed without a sheet in between, flesh to flesh. We already discussed, possibly with the exception of his wife. But if he's with his children who are young, it's okay. Person with his young children. What's the idea? A young child is not yet capable of arousing sexual feelings. So, im hayu banav ubnei beis ha'ktanim mutar. Person is in bed with his young children, it's okay. Va'ad kama, until what age is that? Rav Shloim asked this the other day. So, Amar Avchista said, tinoikes bas shalosh shanim v'yom echad. For a girl, it's until the age of three. Three in a day means already into the third year, into the fourth year, after 3 full years. And a boy by the age of 9. That's the cutoff age for being with them in bed without clothing. From that age, we are concerned that there might be thoughts. What's the significance of this age? Significance of this age is that at this age, respectively, a boy and a girl are already considered capable of cohabitation. Ikeda Amri, others say, Tinoikes bas yud alif shana v'yemechad. No, it doesn't go by when they're capable of cohabitation, because they're still not necessarily at a point that they're physically developed to the extent that they'll cause a person feelings. Rather, it goes by when a girl is 11 years old, v'tinoik ben 12 shana v'yemechad, and when a boy is 12 years old. That's already the age when the body is maturing enough that a person might become aroused by that close physical contact.
And then you shouldn't.
Meaning, or then you cannot say Kriya Shema when you're with them in bed like that, if there's nothing in between. Meaning, if both are completely undressed. Now the Gemara adds a qualification: Idi v'Idi, but in both cases, it's only Ad Kedei Shadaim Nochainus Orich Tzimeach. It's only if they are indeed maturing physically. It's only if the breasts are starting to develop in the case of a girl, and the pubic hairs are starting to sprout. So that's
which is it?
So what are we paskin? We paskin like the latter opinion. That's the halacha, that it goes by from 11 years old for a girl, 12 years old for a boy, and also only if these different pubic signs have already started developing, the breasts and the hairs.
If they haven't,
then it's mutter.
So why not just say that?
Oh, the reason we don't say that is because the Rambam says that it goes in both directions. Under the age of 11 or 12, we don't care about physical development. It's the age of 11 or 12 plus physical development that makes it awesome. You have to have both. He adds also that once a girl is 12 and a boy is 13, then we don't care about physical development anymore. Under 11 and 12, it's absolutely mutter. Above 12 and 13, it's absolutely usser. For a girl between 11 and 12, and from a boy between 12 and 13, it depends on, like the Gemara says here, whether you actually see the physical signs developing. Okay. Now, Okay, this was, we might say, a side point. Now, Omar le Rav Kahane le Rav Ashi. Rav Kahane says to Rav Ashi, we're going back to the initial discussion. If you remember, we had a machlokes the other day. If a person is lying in bed with another person and they're back to back, are you allowed to say Kriya Shema in such a state, or do we consider that a state that arouses problematic feelings? So Shmuel said it's mutter with anybody, including your wife or other people. Rav Yosef said your wife yes, other people not. So Amar Rav Kahane le Rav Ashi. Rav Kahane said to Rav Ashi, Hasam Amar Rav. Back there Rav said, meaning last week when we learned about the question of tefillin, keeping tefillin in bed with you. So Rav Chisda had said that you can keep it in bed with you even if you have your wife with you in bed, meaning even if you're cohabiting, keep it under your pillow. So Rav said, Afal gav de tiyuv to the Shmuel, even though we refuted Shmuel from a bris, even though it was a bris refuting Shmuel, Hilchas de kavasei de Shmuel, we still follow Shmuel. That even though your wife is in bed with you, you can keep your tefillin with you in bed. Halchamai, what's the halacha here? Also, we follow Shmuel, where he says that even if your wife is in bed with you, when you're back to back, even though you're physical contact, flesh to flesh, you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema. Omalei, so he told him, what's the connection between the two? Atukula bechode machte machtinu. Are all of Shmuel's rulings strung together on one thread? Ela hechede itma itma. Where we said the halacha follows Shmuel, the halacha follows Shmuel. Well, we said that not. So yes, in the case of tefillin, we did paskin like Shmuel, that even if a person is with his wife in bed, he can keep the tefillin under the pillow. But when it comes to reciting Kriya Shema, we do not paskin like, not necessarily paskin like Shmuel. And in fact, as we said the other day, we don't paskin like Shmuel. If you're with a different person in bed, a stranger, back to back, without anything in between, without any clothing, you're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema. We paskin like Rav Yosef, who says your wife yes and other people not. And as we mentioned the other day, even there, it's recommended to be machmir if both are completely undressed.
When you say stranger, we children.
Non-wife.
Non-wife, children.
Including children, unless they're under the age we discussed before.
Why would you call children strangers?
What's that? Because in the sense of being, the reason we don't call a wife a stranger, we want our wife is better, is because a person is more accustomed to his wife's body. Meaning, even to the physical contact with his wife's body, won't necessarily turn him on automatically. Children, presumably, at the end of the day, at least once they're older, you're less familiar to being with them undressed together in bed. Wife is something you're completely accustomed to. Therefore, it's treated more leniently. Okay. So, that's that. We don't necessarily paskin like Shmuel, that's what the Gemara says, and that's Taka Lalacha, we don't paskin like Shmuel. If you're with somebody else in bed, there have to be at least pants or a sheet from the waist down. If you're with your wife in bed, essentially, you are allowed to recite Kriya Shema, even with nothing in between, you're in contact back to back, flesh to flesh, better to be machmir. Now, another question. Really unrelated to what we've been discussing.
Question. Let's say there's an inch in between, so it's not touching flesh.
As long as they're not touching, it's fine.
And that's only when it's such a small situation
today. Yeah, well, they're lying in such a way that Lamaisa they're touching. Yeah. As long as they're not touching, that's okay. Yeah. 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 Or if there's a sheet in between, and even if they are touching, it's okay. Okay. Omar le Rav Meri le Rav Papa. Rav Meri says to Rav Papa, as we've learned, you are not allowed to say Kriya Shema in the presence of an erva. Erva is nakedness. And as we said, erva is a din in and of itself. It has nothing to do with whether it arouses you or not. There's an issa to say divrei kedusha in the presence of a nakedness. So Rav Meri asked Rav Papa the following: Se'ar yoytze bevigdoi. What if a person has the hairs from the bottom of his body? There's a hair sticking out of his clothing. Came through a hole in the clothing or something like that. You can see the hair from the bottom part of the body. Ma, Is that considered erva? Since it's the hair of the erva, is that considered erva? Would the sight of that hair, the presence of that hair, make it also to recite the Brit Kedusha? Kora alei, they answer, seya seya, hair is hair, hair is nothing. It's not a problem. The hair of the bottom is not called an erva. Certainly not sightly, not a dignified way to be, but it's not an erva. There's no problem with reciting the Brit Kedusha in that presence.
Like one of the signs of puberty?
It's a sign of puberty, yeah, but it's nevertheless not an erva, right? In fact, even more than that, right? We saw that with a woman, with a girl, the breast is a sign of puberty, and we certainly associate that with intimacy. Yet it's not an erva. Meaning, this doesn't mean the husband is allowed to recite Kriya Shema when she's exposed. We'll see that soon. But again, like you said, you're not allowed to say Divrei Kedusha even in the presence of your own erva. But a woman is allowed to say Divrei Kedusha if her breasts are exposed. The breast is not an erva. Not everything, there are parts of the body which you definitely are not going to expose, yet it's not an erva. We even said that about the rear end the other day. The rear end, the breast, etc., these are all not erva in the sense that if a woman is by herself, right, and she's undressed, as long as her actual erva, the actual sexual spot, is covered, all these other parts of the body don't bother us. Okay.
What is Rashi just saying?
What's that? It's nothing. Seya, seya. Koi ma mabika. What is that? It's nothing. Yeah. Okay.
So suppose you can't say erva, but
No. One minute. No, not at all. As we'll see coming up. It is. What's that? Coming up. All coming up. All coming up. That's not. That's not what this is. And the truth is, what's that based on? So we're going to show now. The truth is, now we're going to give a little bit of a preface, the premise for the coming sugya. This is what we've discussed before. We already mentioned that there's something called an absolute erva. Absolute erva. Yeah, midoraisa means the most basic erva, meaning what's involved in first degree erva. That's right. What's involved in relations, the man and the woman. That's erva. That's absolute erva. You can't say divrei kedusha in the presence of your own erva, etc., etc. Right? Then we have the next level of erva, are things that arouse feelings. Now, it's parts of the body that arouse feelings. Okay. Now, if such parts of your own body are exposed, it's not a problem for you. Right? But, if you are in the presence of a woman who has such parts of her body exposed, let's say, a person is in the presence of his wife, and she has her erva covered, but other parts of the body are exposed, parts of the body that do get a person aroused, that's called an erva in another sense. Meaning that's also called erva. Something that gets you aroused is called erva. It's erva of a lower degree, but it's an erva, and you're not allowed to recite the Brit Kedusha in such a presence, whether of your wife or of other women. Don't make the mistake, by the way, of thinking that since this is a permitted woman and you're allowed to see her like this, that you're also allowed to recite brachas. No, your wife can be in a state you're allowed to see her in. You're allowed to see any wife basically in any state, but you have to recite the Brit Kedusha. You're not allowed when there's a part of her body that's exposed that arouses feelings. That's the premise of the coming sugya. This is really the answer to your question also. And that's the answer to the coming sugya. What's that? First degree has nothing to do with arousing feelings. A woman is not allowed to recite brachas in the presence of her own erva. If an undressed woman is standing up, her erva is exposed, she's not allowed to recite brachas. A man who's exposed to his own erva is not allowed to recite brachas. It's got nothing to do with feelings. Then there's this next level that... meaning it's based on the premise that it arouses feelings, and it's not a problem if your own is exposed. And by a man, it's really, none of this is an issue. There are parts of the body that are a problem with the man other than the erva itself. But with a woman, she's in the presence of her own erva, she's not allowed to. But once her erva is covered, and let's say her breasts are exposed, she's allowed to say the Brit Kedusha. But a man who's in her presence will not be allowed to, because it arouses him.
The woman sees another woman's secondary erva?
That's a machlokes poskim. Lamaisa, the poskim tend towards saying that that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. What's that?
The same for a man.
The same for a man seeing another man. As long as it's not the actual erva. Again,
right, yes.
Yeah, as long as it's not the actual erva, there's no problem with a man at all. Even a woman seeing another man. If a woman sees a man who only has his shorts on, right, it's not a problem for a woman to recite the Rikdush. So now we're going to start seeing examples of this issue.
Here's what's wrong with me is that I can understand that, but we'll fix it nicely from the point of view of arousal. And when it comes to your own erva, there's not any need of arousal.
No any need of arousal.
Right. So why is it that, or when it comes to one will go and woman arouse on her own, there's also no need of arousal.
Right.
Okay. But so why is the backside worse than the front side? Or why is the front side worse than the backside?
Why is the front side an erva and the backside not?
Correct. I mean,
the front side is called
very animalistic.
Right. Right. No, the areas that are actually involved in intimacy, that are actually involved in relations, those are called erva. Just that's their essential definition, nothing to do with arousal.
Yeah.
That is nakedness.
But in terms of we were talking yesterday about these areas, not being animalistic, this kind of thing.
Oh, so here also, we differentiate between the two points that we mentioned yesterday. There's two levels. Like that was part of the point that we were making yesterday. There are two levels. There's the level at which you cover it up because you want to cover up the baseness of man.
So,
that's the erva. That's all.
Fine, but the baseness, I'm saying, like the baseness you think would also cover the backside as well.
So again, in regard to the woman herself, not. In regard to the woman herself, not. Woman towards the man, you're right. The woman towards the man, you're right.
No, the woman towards another woman, the woman towards herself. Why isn't the back side even worse than the front side when it comes to baseness?
No, because at the end of the day, the back side, what's the baseness? The baseness is in the lust. When we say baseness, I don't mean just baseness as far as the body itself goes dirty. I mean baseness in the sense of what brings out the animalistic tendencies of man. Right? Base in the qualitative level. That's what we're saying. We cover that up so as to calm ourselves down. Let's get rid of the phenomena of man is just uncontrollable. That's what I mean by base. Right? And then there's the next level of not to look animalistic in the simpler sense. Not to look like a gorilla, right? Like a naked gorilla. Right? But the most basic level is man's lust is put in a drawer. Right? Closed away. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. So here we move on to a pretty fundamental sugya. And here the Gemara is going to define for us what are considered the areas that arouse and are therefore prohibited as erva if you're facing a woman, for a man facing a woman. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, tefach bi'isha erva. A tefach, an exposed tefach of a woman's body is an erva. Now, what does this mean? For what purpose? Very good. Very good. So you're already bringing in the first thing we have to qualify. What this means is a tefach of the part of the body that's usually covered. To the exclusion of face, hands, and feet. Right? So you're right. We're going to translate this as tefach l'isha erva, a tefach of a woman, of the covered part of a woman's body is an erva. Now, Leman. So this is a halacha. What's the implication of this halacha? For what purpose? Ilemali istakuleba. Does it mean that you're not allowed to look at an exposed tefach of a woman? Is that what it means? Ve'al Omar Avsheshes said, Lama mana akosuv tachshitin shebachutzin tachshitin shebifnim. The pasuk, when it talks about the war that the Jewish people made against Midian, it says that they went to war against Midian because the women of Midian had been sent out to seduce them. When they conquered Midian, they dedicated all the women's jewelry to the Mishkan. And it gives a list of the jewelry. What are the jewelry? So there were some pretty innocent things, and then there were some less innocent things. There were earrings, bracelets, necklaces, etc. And then there was something called a chumaz. A chumaz was a piece of jewelry. It was an ornament that they wore right on the erva, right on the erva. That was what they wore. You write these pictures of the earlier But that was right on the Erev. And the pasuk lists them all together. Why does it list them all together? So listen to this, a very startling message. Loy ma'alecha. Why is the lama mana akosim tachshitin shebachutim tachshitin b'shebitni? Why does the pasuk count, list the outer adornments, right, necklaces, earrings, with the inner adornments? Loy ma'alecha, to tell you, kol ha'mistakel be'etzba ktana shel isha. Anybody who looks at the pinky of a woman, kilu mistakel b'mkoymatoyos, is as though he's looking at the most intimate spot. Now, that's a strong statement, and it's probably not a popular thing to say nowadays, when tznius is basically associated with fanaticism. But what can we do? This is a Jewish ideal that goes way back. So, yes, it's very severe to gaze at a forbidden woman. Don't say, "Well, I'm not gazing." Naked, I'm looking at a fully clothed woman, etc. No, gazing even at the pinky of a woman is considered just as severe as gazing at a woman who's unclothed. What's that? No, that's the point that the Gemara is making here. If you're looking in order to derive pleasure, then the most basic form of looking is already considered gilui arayos. So it's absolutely
awesome. Like we said before,
oh, wait, 1 minute. So the Gemara is asking a question here. What do you mean when you say tefach b'isha erva? That's what the Gemara is asking. Do you mean that you're not allowed to look at an exposed tefach? Here we see that you're not allowed to look at an exposed millimeter. That's what the Gemara is asking. So you still don't know where tefach comes into play. Ella. What's that? That's right. We're going to work this all through. But meanwhile, we still don't understand at all what this tefach is supposed to mean. Because, again, saying you're not supposed to look at a tefach, you're not allowed to look at a woman at all in any way if you're looking at a strange woman in order to derive, I think the word is prurient pleasure.
Rashi
says,
are you from America?
What's that?
Or no, it's
a
related, sorry.
Rashi, the Sheik, yeah, that's coming up later.
No, it's
the Kuliba. Well, the Kuliba, he makes it Ishi. Meaning, if she's an Erva, that's really what it means. If she's an Erva. Now, Lamais, okay, you know, we'll work it all out. It means if she's an Erva. Doesn't make a difference if she's a sister-in-law, an Isha Sish, doesn't really make a difference. In fact, the place can say that even unmarried women today, once they become a Nida, are Arayas for all practical purposes. That's why, for example, we're going to see soon, you say you're not supposed to hear a woman singing. Really, that applies only to an Erva, which means a married woman, and essentially, you're allowed to hear a non-married woman singing. Just the problem is, the place can say as soon as they become Nidas, they're all Arayas. So for all practical purposes, all women are arayas. All strange women are arayas.
The young girls would be okay.
What's that?
The young girls.
A young girl who has never had her period would be allowed to hear her singing. Yeah. Now, there's another issue here. And that is that part of the point of not Rabbeinu Yonah says this is why looking at a woman is gazing at a woman is an issur d'oraisa, because there's an issur to cause yourself thoughts. Right? Anything that can arouse you, you're not allowed to do. And that itself is another reason, even if you're talking about an unmarried woman, to gaze at her in a way that's going to cause you prurient pleasure. Meaning, you can have a woman that you'd be allowed to have relations with, theoretically speaking, but if you're going to gaze at her and not have relations with her, you're running into the problem of hirur, of thinking thoughts that can cause you to become tummy. So therefore, that will all be us. Now, we're going to come back and put this into perspective. First, I just want to finish up the point of the Gemara. We have to get back to this. What does this mean? That if you go into the bank and there's a woman teller, you can't make eye contact? Let's see. Ella b'ishta. But again, we got thrown by this startling statement. But what's our question? The Gemara had said tefach is an erva, and we're asking where does that come into play? It doesn't come into play with a strange woman, that's right. Where does it come into play? With your wife. Ella b'ishtoi, with your wife. Now, what does that mean? I'm allowed to look at my wife however I want. Ule Kriya Shema. Maybe for Kriya Shema purposes, it's right. You're allowed to look at your wife, even if she's exposed. But Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to recite in the presence of an exposed part of a woman's body. And that's where we say that a tefach that's exposed of your wife's body in an area that's usually covered, you're not allowed to say the Brit Kedusha there.
And what we said earlier is what is applicable. In other words,
this is what the Gemara meant by saying a tefach.
So what we said just now
that's not about your wife. It's a mitzvah to look at your wife.
No, this is talking about the pinky.
The pinky is talking about strange women. That's what we're saying. With regard to a strange woman, there's no such thing as a tefach. With regard to a strange woman, don't even look at her pinky. Tefach has no consequence.
Like you said, you go some business transaction
somewhere. Oh, so that we're going to get to. We're going to deal with that. We're going to put all that into perspective. But first, I just want to clarify, what's this tefach thing? This tefach thing is a tefach of your wife that's exposed in a place that's usually covered. You're not allowed to recite the Divrei Kedusha, and therefore, right? Let's say, for example, your wife is nursing. Right? Your wife is nursing, she's exposed, nobody else around, the whole situation is perfectly permissible, but to say brachas you can't say. Or if your wife has her sleeves rolled up above the elbow, nobody else is around, only her husband is around, it's permissible, but you can't say brachas in that presence.
When she's tired.
What's that? Oh yeah, it's all only permissible when she's tired. Right. Okay. So tefach of a covered part of a woman's body.
Socks.
What's that?
Not socks. We're talking about the feet somewhere. We said the feet are okay. But the up until the knee.
Oh.
But there's no socks.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. We're going to deal with all this. Omar Rav Chisda said, and here we're coming on to your question. Shaykh Be'isha Erba. I'm going to translate this ambiguously meanwhile. Omar Rav Chisda says, Shoik Be'isha Erva. A woman's leg is Erva. Which means, once again, you're not allowed to recite any of the Divrei Kedusha in the presence of a woman's leg. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Gali Shoik Avrino Harois. This is when the Pasuk is describing the goats. It says, you will have to, it's talking to Klal Yisrael as though it's a rebellious wife, right? It says you'll have to expose your leg and pass through rivers. And then it says, with regard to that, Tigal Ervaseich, your nakedness will be revealed. Meaning when a woman's leg is revealed, it's called that her nakedness is revealed. Gam Tira Ervaseich, your shame will be seen. Now what does leg mean? I'm saying leg is called an erva. So it's a big machloikis, what the leg means here. Does it mean the thigh or does it mean the shin? What does shaykh mean? Does it mean the thigh or does it mean the shin? Is it from the ankle to the knee or from the knee to the hip? So if you just give the bottom line here, this is obviously has a lot of practical implications. So the machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah Lamaisa cites the opinion that means above the knee. The area above the knee is called an erva. The area below the knee is not. And therefore, for example, if your wife is not wearing socks at home, whatever it is, there wouldn't be a problem with reciting the Brit Kedusha. It's obviously certainly not above the knee.
And the knee would fall to which category?
What's that? Above the knee is already erva.
The knee itself.
Oh, the knee itself. The knee cap, if I remember correctly, is considered part of it. If I remember correctly, is part of the erva, which is why Lamaisa, the place can say that when a woman is wearing a skirt, she has to wear a skirt that's long enough to ensure that no part of her knee will be exposed even when she sits down. Meaning, if a woman is not, a woman who, skirts that can be confused as belts today, but a woman is wearing a proper skirt, she wants to make sure her knee is covered, she has a skirt coming right under the knee, that's not sufficient, because when she sits down, it's going to come up. Depending on who you're going to follow, the place can say different things, from between 4 inches under the knee, which basically ensures that in whatever position she'll be in, the knee will remain covered unless she's doing jumping jacks, right? but there are more stringent opinions also. I think generally we could say that 4 inches below the knee is considered sufficient to make sure that the knee is never exposed. The another obvious implication of this is it require, are women required to wear stockings, socks, tights when they go outside? So it's very hard to answer this question in a very clear way. I mean, there's it's a big machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah, as I said, Lamaisa, presents as the halacha the opinion that says that the shoik means the thigh, which means that the area underneath is not called an erva and may essentially be permitted. There are many opinions that say Rav Moshe also, if I remember correctly, Rav Moshe writes that essentially the area below the knee is allowed to be exposed, the part of the leg below the knee, yet it's an issue of tznius to cover it as well. There are many poskim, it's important to realize that hold that it's mamish asur, that the shaykh actually refers to the shin, to the area from the knee till the ankle.
How far would that go?
Down to the ankle. Which for all practical purposes, I mean, unless a woman wants to wear leggings and then no shoes, she'd be allowed to do that. But for all practical purposes, it means that a woman has to be completely covered from neck down.
If a woman wants to hold a Mishnah Berurah, they don't want to.
What's that?
Women posed by the Mishnah Berurah, they don't want to have stockings on. Doesn't that more present a problem for us? The question is, let's say I don't want to hold by the Mishnah Berurah, I want to hold by, but the woman doesn't, so it's like
right, so in general, if you want to avoid this issue, you would turn your face away when you want to recite the Vikdush. Turn your face away when you want to say the Vikdush. As long as you're not seeing, you're okay. Right? Now, what I just want to say about this in general is that, okay, again, today tznius has almost become a sensitive subject. Like, you can't talk too much about tznius because you'll be offending people. Right? Something that's one of the most fundamental values of Yiddishkeit throughout all the generations, now today has been replaced with a value called tolerance, which basically means if I want to take my Judaism in a lax way, I have to be accepting of people who want to be even more lax. That's basically what the word tolerance means. So it certainly does not mean being respectful of chumras. No, tolerance means not being respectful of chumras. You use cliches like Achdus and Avas Yisrael to show how bad people who practice chumras are, because that implies that I'm doing something wrong. Tolerance means that if you want to be lax about Yiddishkeit, you have to be ready to countenance people who are even more lax. A very popular concept today. So therefore, we shouldn't really be saying these things. No. To have it anywhere from halfway down the hip is perfectly fine. That's right. That way we won't offend anybody. But Lemaisa, many places can say that even if we won't call it a true error in the sense that you're not allowed to recite the Rikdusha, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing for a woman to go with the to go without socks, stockings, tights, or whatever. That's right. This, according to the opinion that the essential erva is from the knee up, then the question of from the knee down will depend on minhag ha-makom. Minhag ha-makom is very hard to define. What's that? If the minhag ha-makom is to be machmir, it might be das yehudis. How would you define our areas today? I don't know. You have to keep in mind your gauge, you can't go by the general world. You're going by the general minhag ha-makom is basically to economize on fabric as much as possible. But if you, obviously you're going with people who take halacha into account when you're determining what the minhag ha-makom is. Once you're going by people who take the halacha into account, I don't know. But we've introduced the issue. We don't have to give up a hard and fast final bottom line here. Okay. Omar Shmuel. Whatever the case is, that's what is clear is that above the knee is definitely called an erva for all purposes. In the sense of reciting the Rekdusha, you're not allowed to recite the Rekdusha in the presence of a woman who has the area above the knee exposed, and certainly women are, there's no need to state that women are not allowed to go around that way.
So just the issue is that even the tefach would be okay?
What's that? If you're talking about the thigh? In general. In general, yeah. Up to a tefach is okay.
And
somebody else, even the Rashi would be bad. Oh. So that's a machloekes apoiskim. With regard to the din of reciting. It's a machloekes apoiskim. If the din of not reciting divrei kedusha in the presence in a different woman who has a covered part of her body exposed, it's a machloekes if any amount is a problem or only a tefach. Regarding the iser to look, we certainly established that any amount is a problem. But regarding the iser reciting divrei kedusha, when you're not looking, you're looking down. Well, the maisa, she's opposite you. You can see, right? It's a machloekes. The Ramah cites the opinion that when you're talking about a different woman, any part of it, any exposed area of the body is a problem.
Even less than a tefach.
Even less than a tefach, yeah. You'd have to look away, yeah. Okay. Now, there's a Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva where he was asked, what's better? I shouldn't say what's better. What's worse? What's worse, for a woman to wear a miniskirt or pants? So he says, obviously pants. Right? Pants is covered. Miniskirt is naked. Right? That's good. So now, this does not mean that pants are acceptable in any way. The place can say that the very fact that you see the split in the shape of a woman's body is a serious pretus in and of itself. It's also very clear. Both are problematic. The question is, which Gehenim is hotter? So, okay. So he says the Gehenim for miniskirts are hotter. What's that? Yeah, that's what he said.
Theoretically,
you can have a skirt that's worse than pants. What's that? That's right. Right? 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 Depends on the reality.